Reading from Jiva Dharma. I think it's chapter 3. Om Gyanatimaram Dasya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On hearing all this, Mahari Mayasai said, "The Mahasai kindly instruct me on Shuddha Vaishnava Dharma. And taking shelter to lotus feet in my old age, please accept me. I've heard that if one has previously accepted Dikshin Siksha, an unqualified guru, he should be initiated and receive instructions again. And he meets a genuine guru. I've been hearing your pure instructions for several days, and my faith in Vaishnava Dharma has been awakened. Please first instruct me about Vaishnava Dharma, and then sanctify me by giving me initiation." Babaji Maharaj became slightly ill at ease and replied, "O Mahasai, I will certainly instruct you as far as I am able. I am not fit to be a Diksha Guru. Nonetheless, you may take instructions on Shuddha Vaishnava Dharma." You know, I was, well, greetings from Moscow. You know, I couldn't give this last Wednesday and then a couple of Wednesdays at Mastami. But I think we've lost our continuity, so you don't mind if I kind of put the whole thing in context again so that we can all understand this wonderful text. But before that, it's really wonderful here in Moscow. I have an ideal situation, like old student. Nanda Govardhan, he has this beautiful Shanti Shakti yoga and spa place. Good for me to get my health together, concentrate on that, and at the same time, I do satsang every night. It's a three-story building. I have a nice room on the third floor. I go down to the satsang hall. Which, oh, nice. That's nice. People come. And they're reading Krishna's pastimes and discussing it. And after a three-hour program every night. Okay, now in the story, this is the story of Jiva Dharma. Novel by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a novel by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about people coming to Krishna consciousness after the time of Lord Chaitanya, the generation afterwards. I told this, but some people may be looking on for the first time and have forgotten. And according to who a particular person is, they have different misconceptions that need to be cleared for them to go forward in the spiritual life. Like some person may be like a theist, but he has misconceptions about Krishna, or some person may not believe in God, or some person may be a materialist, or some person may be past conscious. So according to one's present beliefs and understandings, they will need particular truths explained to them. Truth in the Sanskrit is called tatva, particular. So to really know Krishna consciousness deeply, the person who does know, knows all the tattvas. You know, nam-tattva, the truth about the holy name, shakti-tattva, the truth about God's energies. And as one advances, one knows rag-tattva, one knows the science of spontaneous devotion. So it's a beautiful book. We're following the enlightenment of various persons as they come to Krishna consciousness. And according to their doubts and questions and their enlightenment, then we learn different subjects of Krishna consciousness. Yesterday, when I was downstairs, I was giving a talk about happiness really being how we see things rather than the way things are. And then one intelligent girl asked the question of how do you, you know, purify the mind, you know, or how does the mind change? And there's many ways you can answer it, but I was stressing that who we are and how we think and who we are and how we think in the future is based on the decisions that we make in life. I quoted the first aphorism. I don't know, it's the first aphorism called Kirti Pradesh. It says, our decisions determine our fate. And what does it take to make good decisions? You need knowledge and detachment. Again, and by right, without knowledge, you don't know what to do. And without discipline, you can't do it. So I was reflecting on my own life. How is my mind? How has my consciousness been improved? And it's because I've had a teacher, and I've had teachers who gave me knowledge on everything in relationship to the mind. How my life affects the mind, how particular meditations and spiritual practices affect the mind, and how to live that way. So it's from teachings and instructions we change. We change. And sometimes we don't have faith in what to do, but we have faith in the wrong things to do. And it's only by getting the right understandings and the right ideas that we change. So I was emphasizing the need to hear, and the need to hear with faith from someone who has good ideas, live by those ideas, realize those ideas, and can communicate those ideas, which come from sacred texts. And one of the reasons why I hold these classes regularly, I'm losing track. 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, over 600 classes. The reason I do that is because it's the essence of spiritual advancement. If people want to change their minds, change their consciousnesses, or elevate their consciousnesses, they have to hear good ideas, they have to hear sacred texts with faith,
try to understand those ideas, embrace them as their own thoughts, apply them in their life, and change. And, you know, I have special affection and special regard for those people who do this regularly on this Sangha. And I see those are the people that change. And that's called advancement in spiritual life. Who actually undergo the austerity, have the understanding, have the determination to regularly hear. In the Bhagavatam, in the second canto, where it's really discussing, in the core way, the whole Bhagavatam, Nasta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nitam Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. Nasta Prayeshu Bhadreshu. All that's bad is practically destroyed. All that's bad is practically destroyed. Nasta Prayeshu Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata, by regularly serving the Bhagavata. And Prabhupada said it means the person Bhagavata and the book Bhagavata. Because the person Bhagavata, the devotee, speaks about the book Bhagavata. Bhagavata means the books about God. And the book Bhagavata, it speaks about the person Bhagavata. So, teachings come from people, and those people speak the books of sacred text, and therefore you change. I always tell a story when I met Ramesh Baba once, and he just shared a gem of knowledge with me, just personally. He said, everything depends on your thoughts. And thoughts, and good thoughts. Good thoughts. What are good thoughts? Good thoughts are the attachments we have to Dharma. Our attachments we have to doing the right things. And the aversion we have to doing the wrong things. And that's what your mind is. And we know it. Sometimes we sit down and we are not attached to the holy name. We're not attached to the good things. And we're attached to the wrong things. Our mind is based on our thoughts. And when we really become purified, we become attached to the good things, become averse to the bad things. And that's a healthy mind. He said, from good thoughts come good actions, from good actions come good habits, good habits come good character, and good character comes a good destination. But where do the good thoughts come from? They come from the good ideas that are shared and expressed by teachers who are versed in the books of the ideas. So this story we're reading is the enlightenment of people who get their doubts about good ideas cleared. And according to who they are, they have various doubts about what are good ideas. Some people think that jnana is a good idea. Some people think that karma is a good idea. Some people think that materialism is a good idea. Some people think that unlimited sex life is a good idea, or is the best idea. A lot of modern advertising is based on that bad idea, that the more sex life you get, the happier you'll be, that the trust in sublimity is in materialism. The whole modern society is an advertisement of bad ideas. And a spiritual society is a promotion of good ideas through the
teachings of the people who represent them. So this person we're following now is called Lahari Mahasai, and he was an aristocratic Brahmin. And he was proud of his caste. He had that bad idea that your elevation is your social status, which is wrong. Your elevation is your spiritual status. Kiva Vipa, Kivyanasi, Kena Sudrahoi, Ye Krishna Veta Tatva Seguhoi. Doesn't matter what your social status is. What matters is your realization, truth. But he had that misconception. We don't have that misconception when we come to Krishna consciousness. We have other misconceptions. I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness in 1970, we went to the temple in Watsika Avenue, and I was with four friends. We're traveling around California, and my friend had the misconception that sex life without restriction was a good idea. And the teacher, the devotee who sat down next to him, challenged that idea and helped clear up his misconceptions. So that it may be the wrong idea that's carried forward in a more modern context, where the idea that your social status determines your elevation may not be a misconception. Where in India, in a Brahmin family, they may not have the misconception that unrestricted sex life is a good idea, but they have another misconception. So we're dealing with this Lahari Mahasai. And that misconception has been cleared up by a great Vaishnav that's living in the place that he visited, and that Vaishnav is named Vaishnav Das, who used to be an elevated Mayavadi sannyasi named Sannyas Thakur, and he's gradually accepting him. He's gradually accepting him as his guru. And Lahari Mahasai eventually comes to the realization that the advanced wants to spend some time with Ashram. And actually his guru is living with his own guru, called Babaji, Frankdas Babaji. Frankdas Babaji basically called Vaishnav Das, and he preached to this person, so he became his prominent teacher, although he won't initiate him, because he's in the presence of his guru, but he's taking the position as his sutra or instructor. So, comes to live with him and get his sangha. Live with a saintly person, or you with a saintly person, really for two reasons, or three reasons. Want to see his life and become inspired by
motion and action. You want to get the teacher's instructions. And that's why we want to go to St. Luke people. Because they have knowledge. We want answers. We're confused. What do we do? This is the situation that's come to me. How do I proceed in that situation? One second, I'm going to take a sip of hot water. This is my throat. It's early in the morning here. One more sip of hot water. It's early in the morning here. At least there's not much sleep at night. And staying up late with the programs, getting up early for the chanting. I go down to the satsang hall. And it's just nice. There's usually at least three people that are joining me. So nice to chant in the morning in the proper atmosphere with the proper people. So, Laharim Mahasai, he comes with his teacher. I'm kind of probably today is just going to get us back to review. And they're chanting at night, the main spiritual practice, absorption and non-kirtan. He's chanting and he sees a snake and he becomes kind of a little bit afraid, which is natural. Snake represents death. The snake bite represents death. And Lahari, he's Vaishnav Das, you know, he kind of says, Lahari says, watch out, a snake. And Vaishnav Das instructs him that, you know, we're not the bodies. A snake can't bite the spiritual body. And death is determined by your karma. So real Vaishnava having this realization and knowledge is he's not afraid. If he lives in a world of fear, his mind is not peaceful or deep spiritual practices. Knowledge is to help us get free from fear. The whole Bhagavad Gita is you want to be fear from kindness, is that fearless, excuse me. You have to become fearless. And especially at the time of death, that your mind is not disturbed. It's overwhelmed with fear, then we can't remember Krishna. Fear is an emotion, and it attaches the consciousness to the object of fear rather than the object of God and the object of the soul. So, spiritual life is the process of becoming fearless. So, Vaishnava says this with such conviction. Such conviction. And Lahari has become such a disciple that after hearing it, he becomes free from fear. hears something with such conviction that he embraces it as true. And this is the way one becomes spiritually advanced. You hear the words of sadhus who have conviction. And then you become spiritually, you embrace those ideas, you change your life. And we see how this, how necessity is here again and again and again and again and again to build up that conviction. But here, Lahari represents the qualified disciple, super qualified, that hears with faith and then changes. It has that kind of sukriti, like Lal Babu, Calcutta landowner, who was walking down the street one day, and there was a simple sweeper lady who was sweeping, and he was in the way, and she said to him, you know, time is passing. She meant I had my work to do. Time is passing. Move on. But because of his elevation, he took that as spiritual instruction. That, you know, we don't have time, is we have a short amount of time in this life. We have to become serious. He gave up everything. And that's also the Bhagavatam. If you hear it with seriousness, you get Krishna immediately, but it doesn't happen because we're attached to so many things that are not true, so we have to hear it, surrender to Guru and Krishna, surrender to Guru and Krishna, surrender to Guru and Krishna. We have to hear it again and 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 again. But here, he just hears once, comes free from fear. And then has the realization that great souls are more fearful of embracing material association. That doesn't mean being with people that are not spiritual. It means opening our hearts to them. More fearful of that than being influenced by material conception than he is than the venom of the snake. And you know, this Vaishnav Das then tells him very frankly, when that bhakti enters one's heart, become dear to Krishna, because bhakti is love. And it's the thing that pleases Krishna. So when bhakti enters your heart, and bhakti flows from your heart, you become, dear Krishna, because you have the heart that is the pleasure of Krishna. And then you're in relationship to Krishna, so you're completely protected. You have relationship with that or he which controls everything. And when you have that sense in your life, you're not afraid. When you have bhakti, death, the change of body is coming. And you have complete faith. That is Krishna's will. What is the fear? You have that realization. Not any more intellectual. It's a conviction based on your experience. God loves me. He moves the world to my purification. I see God in everything. I have confidence. And even this is coming. that's going to take away my life. This is God. I embrace it. I always tell the example of my uncle, Rabbi Alexander Good, who gave up his life on the USS Dorchester, which was sunk by a U-2 submarine. He gave up his life to save others. Because he wasn't afraid. And there was four other chaplains. They gave up their life preservers to save others. They went down with the ship singing the Psalms of David. People saw them. Because they weren't afraid. Because they had a relationship with God. And we're not so foolish to think that only people who are Gaudiya Vaishnavas can have a relationship with God. Even to whatever extent we do have faith in the sublimity and the completeness and the potency of the knowledge and the teaching, more than we have faith in maybe another tradition, we're not so foolish to think that spiritual knowledge is a monopoly. There are people that they experience God through different traditions. In fact, I read a book on the sociological study on how Christianity spread. And one of the main factors is that people got bhakti, devotion in their hearts, and lost fear of death. And therefore, when they were tortured, they wouldn't give up God. And the more that the Romans, whoever it was torturing the Christian, the more people saw that these people were not afraid of death. And that, almost more than anything else, made an impression on people that these people must have something. So when Bhakti Devi enters the heart, one becomes confident in his relationship with God, that God loves one. So then, Lahari, we'll just bring it up to pace today, that's all we'll have time for. But Lahari then, he's again blown away by the instructions of Vaishnava Das. He realizes he has a connection to the truth. And he's absorbing that truth. So he says, you know, is there a difference between Nitya Dharma and Vaishnava Dharma? He says, I know there's some connection, but are they exactly the same? It's if you remember Vaishnava Das, who's now the guru, it's the same question basically he asked his guru, Prem Das. He was enlightened. Now, Lahari, he's being enlightened. And of course, this book is Jiva Dharma. What is the duty of the soul? What is the eternal duty of the soul? What should we do? What should we not do? The whole Bhagavatam is based on that. What is the duty of a man who's about to die, and what should he not do? What is the duty of a man who's about to die? Like, I want to know what should he do. That's the fundamental question. And you start with the big question, what's the eternal duty? And then you can discuss all the other duties that support that. But really, who are we? What are we made of? What are we made for? What should we be doing? Just to have an understanding of that, so you could have alignment between your life and your being. What is the question of happy? So he explains that there's Shuddha Vaishnav Dharma, there's a pure Vaishnav Dharma, which manifests in your eternal relationship with Krishna. Your soul blossoms. What is your soul? It's a receptacle of love, and love comes in relationship. It's a receptacle of love for God, which comes in a particular relationship. So the purest Vaishnav Dharma is, I am God's lover, I am God's friend, I am God's parent, I am God's servant. And then there's Vidha Dharma, Vaishnav Dharma. When Vaishnav Dharma is mixed with karma, this is different from karma mishra bhakti and jnana mishra bhakti, because in karma mishra bhakti, your objective and goal is Bhagavan. But to achieve that goal, you're executing karma to purify yourself. You're cultivating knowledge to detach yourself from the body. That's jnana mishra bhakti. But here, this vidha, this mix, is where you actually, you practice worship of Vishnu, but you feel it's subordinate to karma. This is my Mamsaka philosophy. You believe that karma is absolute, that your worship of God, it cannot change you. You're under karma, and karma reigns supreme. But you have those mantras to purify yourself, and you practice rituals. And jnana vidha Vaishnav Dharma is when you worship God to become one with the Absolute Truth. But your conception is not Bhagavan. You feel that's also part of you. It's impersonal. And people become confused about this. Vaishnav Dasa tell you. And you can see people don't have the right conceptions. They think they're Vaishnavas, but it's not pure Vaishnavas because their conception is not surface to God. And then he explains, according to your tendency toward the Absolute Truth, you'll gravitate to either Shuddha Vaishnav Dharma or Karma Vidha Vaishnav Dharma or Jnana Vidha Vaishnav Dharma. And why Vaishnav Dharma? Because whatever you want to achieve, it's beyond your own abilities, actually, and you need mercy. So even if you want to become one with the Absolute Truth, somehow you feel you have to worship, because worship is a process of getting mercy. Worship is a process of getting something beyond your efforts. So, if your tendency is for Brahman, then you perform jnana vidha Vaishnav Dharma. You perform worship with your objective to become one with the Absolute Truth. And if you have the tendency for the Paramatma, then you worship karma, then you practice karma vidha, which means your objective is subtle pleasures like mystic powers. And therefore, you tend to speak worship of God in the heart for that reason. And then he explained these other dharmas are not nitya because they have an external cause.
if when you practice jnana, your motive is liberation. It's the material bondage. And material bondage is not eternal. So your practice is not an eternal thing. It's to achieve some kind of eternal objective. The same thing with karma. So really, nitya dharma, an eternal duty, cannot have